From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on a Thursday afternoon when I was packing a bag to fly to Florida. The trip to visit family had been in the works for months for me, and the flight through Frontier Airlines worked perfectly with our timing. So on the afternoon of this past Thanksgiving, you could say I was a little annoyed when I received an email. Now, I didn't know exactly what the email meant because it was from Frontier, and they wanted me to note that the flight had been disrupted. Disrupted. Okay. Well, the email instructed me to head to a website and learn more, and I did not even get told by Frontier that the flight was canceled. They just said disrupted. I'm like, oh, is it like an hour late? No, it was canceled, which they did not say. I had to go to the Rochester Airport website to learn that disrupted means canceled. And so Frontier's website didn't really leave any options. They said you can choose to rebook a new flight on the same day, Thanksgiving, on Friday, or on Saturday. But I clicked through to all three, nothing. Nothing available. So then I thought, well, I'm just going to call the airline. I got to get somebody on the phone and we'll see what is the nearest solution and et cetera. And there was no option for that. They told me that I had to use Frontier's chatbot. And so I was eventually connected to a representative named Alessandro. I have no idea right now if Alessandro was a real person or not. I think maybe, but as our guests will tell me, maybe not. Alessandro first sent me to the company's website and said, here's a link that will help. And it was a link to just book new flights through Frontier. And then Alessandro asked, did that solve your problem? Well, you can imagine it did not. And then the connection got lost and I had to start all over. So my next online chat was with a company representative named Michelle, who said she didn't even know Frontier had a flight out of Buffalo the next morning that could have maybe gotten me to Tampa. And we kind of went back and forth. And so long story short, I'm getting a refund. That's nice. Spent a couple of hours dealing with the chat program, and that was that was really a great way to spend Thanksgiving. Now, this hour is not about me. I am one of the more fortunate human beings probably on the planet right now. So I'm not, I mean, like, it's okay. I'm going to go to Tampa at a different day. It happens. Flights get canceled. Schedules change. I get it. They're mechanical issues. The frustrating part for me was this new experience navigating multiple dead links and dead ends with customer service representatives that I didn't even know were human, if they were human or not, and I could not call and talk to anybody. So I had to sound like an old, I get it, but why couldn't I just talk to a person? Maybe the irony is that most people these days don't really want to talk to people on the phone. If someone calls you, you probably find yourself thinking, how come you didn't just text me? Or if someone leaves you a message, do you even listen? You go, just text me. I get it. This is the one time where you want to talk to somebody. And it turns out I was not the only one. On Saturday, NPR reported that Frontier Airlines has dropped its customer service line in favor of the online chat service only, chatbots, social media, even a WhatsApp app to handle customer service. According to Frontier, the phone line was dropped the previous weekend, just in time for the holiday rush. Frontier spokesperson Jennifer De La Cruz told NPR that the change, quote, enables us to ensure our customers get the information they need as expeditiously and efficiently as possible, end quote. NPR story continued, quote, she said the airline found that most customers preferred communicating through online channels, end quote. Jennifer, I've never met you. I assume you are a real person and not a bot. But come on, that is baloney. I don't know how many of your customers are saying, yeah, I don't really want, during a crisis, I don't need to talk to a person. I'll do the bot. Now, my bias is showing here. You know how I feel, but we want to know how people feel. And this is not just about Frontier Airlines. It certainly isn't just about me. This is about an economy that is changing. We talk a lot about automation. We talk about efficiency, a shrinking labor force. And I understand why organizations, why companies feel like they have to make changes in some ways. The question becomes, are there sort of diminishing returns at some point here? The use of artificial intelligence or AI to handle customer service is on the rise, not just in airlines. So what are the benefits and the drawbacks? What does it mean for the future for all of us who just want to talk to a person? I get to talk to four real people this hour. Well, two of them for sure. The ones on the line I think are real. Rich Polvino, Vice President and Director of Corporate Communications at ESL Federal Credit Union, is with us. We reached out to Rich because ESL has a reputation for making sure that you can talk to a person. Why do you do that, Rich?
It's very important in the banking and finance industry to talk to people.
Is that right?
Yes.
People, would you say that your customers would prefer an online chatbot only, or would they like to talk to a real person?
They would love to talk to a real person. Our customers are fantastic and love chatting with us.
So let me also welcome to the program Dr. Raj Murthy, an associate professor in the Department of Management, Information Systems, Marketing, and Analytics in the Saunders College of Business at RIT. Raj is the J. Warren McClure Research Professor there. Dr. Murthy, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
And do you think most people, do you want to talk to a person when there's a when there's trouble?
If it's ESL, I appreciate that they have a real person there, absolutely. But generally speaking, we are moving in that direction. Accenture reported maybe last year that about 50% of the people would prefer to talk to or chat with a bot or text with a bot.
I can't believe anybody wants to text with a bot for when there's trouble. But we'll talk about how the economy is changing. Appreciate having you here. Thank you for being here. Also with us on the line is Sean McKay, who is the president of SiteHub. Hi, Sean. Welcome. Thanks for being with us. Real, you're a real person, correct?
I am real. Yes, indeed. Evan, thanks. I'm glad to be here, too.
Okay. You prefer real people or bots?
You know, maybe because I'm an elder millennial, but I do prefer real. I do prefer talking to people and on the phone, too. There's a case for every scenario here, I think, that for us to discuss.
By the way, does that mean that you prefer actually people calling you instead of texting you?
I love when I get a call.
Yeah. That is old school.
Much better.
I like the old school.
I'm so old school.
Thanks for being with us, Sean. Remind people what SiteHub does.
SiteHub's a Rochester-born digital marketing agency. So we work mostly with small businesses in town, and I have a lot of stories to share about chatbots gone wrong.
Well, welcome. And welcome as well to Dr. Shadeen Yeltekin, who is Dean of the Simon Business School at the University of Rochester. Dr. Yeltekin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Real person. Do you prefer real person or bot?
I'm going to give you the economist answer. It depends. Oh. If the problem to be solved that is not routine, then I'd rather talk to a person and talk to them quickly. But despite my more advanced age, I do like to solve problems on apps if they are just routine problems like rebooking a flight. So.
Yeah, that I get. In fact, that's a good place to start here, because I think what Dr. Yeltekin, Dr. Murthy are talking about when you look at surveys, how do people want to communicate? I can understand a number of customers in sort of the present economy saying, yeah, I'll do things online. I don't need to talk to a person. If it's not a crisis, if it's routine. The issue I had, Dr. Yeltekin, was that if sending me a link to your flight bookings page was all that was required, I would not need the bot. I would not be needing to talk to a person. And that I thought that should have been obvious from the beginning. So, but I guess the nuanced answer, the it depends, does make sense, because I'm sure there's times where I'd rather do everything online as well. Is that kind of where you're going, that in that crisis moment, I would think most people still want a real person?
Yes, or complicated problems that have not been kind of, you know, the bots are operating on some algorithm of you replying to certain questions. And then once you sort of your reply or your situation does not quite fit one of these scenarios that they've been programmed to answer, they're not very helpful, right? It's very frustrating because they keep referring you to the website where you know you're not going to get that particular answer. The issue with a lot of these is that how do you actually differentiate people who really have crises or problems that need to be solved by a person so that you can triage the calls? Because we're hearing that some people just like to talk to a person, but they can clutter up the lines when they could easily be doing something online as well. So how do you triage that? I think the next phase of sort of chatbot triage is to be able to get to that stage where we can tell people who have a more complex problem versus those who can do it through more routine automated services.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And Dr. Murthy, if you want to elaborate as well on this idea of when people want a human being, when they're okay with sort of a bot, and whether we can create, because I get it, we're not going back in the economy to, you know, people in all jobs. I kind of wish that we were, but I get that we're going to see more of this. The question is, can we become more efficient at creating whether it's AI bots, et cetera, that can recognize more quickly when you really do need a person.
That's a perfect junction to this conversation to really think about. Triaging is a very difficult, not an easy process to handle. Chatbots are also in different ranges. So they go from machine learning, things that you can actually understand some of what you're saying. Clearly, they didn't understand what you wanted when you needed to rebook your flight. To simple keyword matching things, right? They just look for something that you typed in and then spit out an answer that is just blunt and perhaps not useful in any way, which could anger the customer. So we're getting to a point where maybe we could triage some of them, but it is not going to. So the opposite is happening, which is the chatbot helps you out first, and if it can't figure it out, then transfers you off to an actual human being, hopefully who has the ability to kind of figure out what would be the ideal solution, or at least guide you to the ideal solution in that particular moment.
Okay. Sean McKay, would that work for you as someone who would rather talk to a person? Can you spend a little time with AI or chatbots before being passed off?
You know, I find myself in this situation a lot with, in advertising with like Meta, with Facebook. When we have an issue, we often, their only support option is their chatbot. And even when you know the problem, like I've experienced the same problem multiple times, I know the issue, I know the answer, I know what needs to be done on their end, I find it really frustrating because their chatbots don't really, know how to deal with that, and they don't quickly get you over to a human. So I think if the option is easily and readily available, that would be fine. There are scenarios that, you know, I agree where you could, you know, potentially solve your issues with a chatbot. And there's certainly times I use them and, you know, find the experience fine. But when you're really in a state of crisis or urgency, or, you know, something needs to be dealt with right away, it's frustrating. It creates a bad customer experience more times than not, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear that. And Rich, are there customers of ESL Federal Credit Union who can solve some of their issues without talking to people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the importance when it comes to the customer experience, either being in person or digital, is that the services are complementary of one another. So making sure that things like account balance transfers, cashing, depositing a check, those things can be done digitally without having to have that interaction. But the more complex problems, we have people available to help our members to work through those problems, and making sure they're available is critical for having that positive customer experience.
Yeah, and sometimes it's how well is your setup. I mean, I've been on the line many times where I get these options, for one, you know, for blah, 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 press one, for two, plus, and then for to talk to a person. And I just said, just talk to a person, to say talk to a person. I'm just yelling, talk to a person. So I get it. I think the setup has to be better. And one thing that I could not figure out was whether Alessandro and Michelle, who were talking me through the Frontier Airlines bot chat, were those real people on the other end? Rich, real person or not? What do you think?
I think it was a bot.
No. Not a real person?
Not a real person.
Okay. Same answer here, Raj?
I think it was a bot.
I said to Raj before the program, but at one interaction, they used a double exclamation mark that was like, oh, this is, you know, like, oh, I'm happy to hear that, or happy to help, like double exclamation mark. And I thought, okay, maybe that's a real person. But you said what?
But that may not be true, because you could train a bot to make it look like mm-hmm. a person. So bots can actually work with emotions and emoticons, if you prefer that way. So if we see a smiley face, are you more likely to believe that it is a human instead of a bot?
See, I feel that's a little underhanded here. I don't mind if your system is set up where at first I've got to do it through a digital interface. But if you're trying to convince me that's a real person there, is that underhanded, Raj?
A little bit, but it's just the early stages of learning how people want to be interacted with.
Okay. Rich and Dr. Murthy say definitely a bot. I think I heard Dr. Yeltkin say yes, bot, not a real person I was talking to there.
Oh, definitely a bot. You were definitely talking to a bot.
No chance that Alessandra and Michelle were real. I mean, they've got such real names. Their punctuation was so normalish.
Yes, but, you know, you can get Siri to tell you jokes or sound offended. So it's very easily programmable.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't like cursing at Alessandro and Michelle. I do wonder how that would have, what kind of response that would have generated. Not that I've ever cursed at Siri more than once. Sean, that was definitely a bot. That was not a human being I was talking to, you think?
It's highly likely, yeah, that it was just a bot. And, you know, when we program this sort of stuff on this end, the point is to program it to be as lifelike and as human sounding as possible. I mean, even when you get a bulk email, which we all know we're not getting as an individual, you know, people try to write those as if they're just for you. Personalization is key in marketing, and I think this is probably just, you know, good programming.
Okay, again, good or underhanded, thin line to me as a customer. If you're trying to convince me it's a person, I don't like it. Just tell me I'm not talking to a human being. Do your best to help me. And listeners, I do want to hear from you on, you know, whether you're dealing with holiday shopping, whether you're talking about flying, whether you're talking about any other number of sort of interfaces with the current economy. Are you dealing with fewer and fewer people? And how has that gone for you? I mean, I've had my negative experience, but maybe there are plenty of places where it's smooth and makes sense. And I would love to hear from you. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections at WXXI.org. And NPR's reporting on this touched on a few, I think a few interesting aspects of this. Number one, Frontier is not the biggest airline. And so this has been a little bit of a surprise because often what ends up happening, at least observationally in the economy, is that you'll see the sort of the big boxes and the big players go to AI and automation. And this looks like a moment of opportunity for smaller organizations or businesses, a chance to say, hey, you're still talking to people with us. We are going to handle you in a way that is respectful of your time and isn't just going to pass you off to bots. But Frontier is kind of one of the smaller ones who've made this decision as obviously as a business decision. Is it sometimes, let me start with Dr. Murthy, is it sometimes an opening in the economy? I mean, is there a small business opening here as we see more automation?
I definitely see this as a point of differentiation for anybody who wants to say we have actual humans you can speak with, and we can say you have local support, American local support, that somebody will pick up the phone and answer your question. That goes without saying. But for the smaller as well as larger companies, you mentioned Frontier. Lufthansa is a huge airline, one of the largest in the world. And they use, and I've used their service, actually works really well for canceling and rescheduling flights. And there is no human. They don't even make any effort to make it clear that it is a chatbot.
Lufthansa, so. That's interesting. Yeah, but if it's worked well for you, my guess is they've really honed how to do it in a way that's, because for a great example of this for me was a Thanksgiving night flight out, a 7 p.m. flight out of Rochester going to Tampa. Okay, that's canceled. There's nothing on Thanksgiving night that's going to work. But your own airline had a flight out of Buffalo at 6 a.m. the next day, a direct flight, and your bots didn't even know it. You didn't even present it as an option. I would have driven to Buffalo. So to me, that's a big gap here. You know, at least let people know other options. If you can't fly out of Rochester, this one's an hour away. Would you want this option? They didn't even ask me. They're like, what do you want to do about this? Like, we got nothing. Would you like to go next week? No, I don't want to go next week. So I imagine Lufthansa has figured this out a little bit more efficiently.
Perhaps they have had more time to kind of train their chatbots and their solutions at this point in time. But have you ever traveled by Amtrak? And so Amtrak has an assistant called Julie, which I really like. My son, who's only 8, he loves trains and, he sometimes enjoys just checking with her. Julie's the name of the voice assistant or chatbot, if you will. And
It's underhanded. I'm going to stay consistent. I don't like calling it Julie, but okay, I get it.
Julie chatbot, if it makes you more comfortable. And she's very good.
Whatever it is.
Very good, very very competent, very good at doing everything. But, you know, going back to your earlier question about, like, you know, Thanksgiving Day, end of the day, this is an easy opportunity to say, no, we need somebody.
Yeah, that seems like the day that you may actually want people. Even if you're like, most times that we're going to see how this goes, biggest travel weekend of the year, let's go ahead and put real people there.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, those are moments where you could have extra staffing if necessary, or at least employ more people who are not celebrating Thanksgiving, perhaps. Whatever there were plenty of opportunities to know that there were going to be, you know, Thanksgiving. It's the busiest day. It's an easy opportunity to go. But I think maybe this is a moment in time where their small businesses can actually say, we have actual people. to attend.
Well,
to
let me ask Rich about this. And I will admit that on the show The Good Place, one of my favorite shows, my favorite character was Janet. And Janet, not a human. Named Janet, looked like a human. Rich Polvino, is this a small business or smaller guy opportunity?
I think it certainly is. I think having people available to talk through it, it provides a sense of personalization for the customer. Like Raj said, like having people who are locally based, know your community, know you, especially in an industry like banking, it's relationship driven. It is trust driven, and you can't establish that with a bot. You need to be able to talk to people. You need to build rapport. So it's certainly a differentiator, I think.
Yeah, and I would think, Rich, everybody is looking for ways to be as tight with your budgeting as you can, to be as efficient as you can. There's nothing wrong with that. Families do it. Businesses, organizations do it. But the diminishing returns to me would be if you are so much relying on AI and no personal interaction that in the world of social media, these stories gain velocity. It hurts your reputation. One of the first things I heard on social media was, I don't think I'm speaking out of school, this is public, Daniel Armbruster, who's the lead of Joywave, jumped on to offer some consoling to me. He said, he's had all kinds of trouble with Frontier, and he says, don't wait around to talk to a person. They don't employ anybody. They don't. Nobody works for them. They only have bots working for them. So I think there's a few people who work for Frontier who are humans, but Daniel was right. I never ended up talking to a person. So I would think that the diminishing returns would be the negative pub, and maybe conversely, the positive pub you get if you handle a crisis well is still an opportunity, isn't it, Rich?
Oh, absolutely. I think the opportunity to learn somebody's situation and really help them through an issue, that has ripple effects from a positive standpoint. So you can really impact people's lives just by having that conversation to the point where, of course, they're going to tell others about the positive experience. They will become a returning customer. Mm-hmm. That loyalty is huge for a business to maintain. So I think the positives, certainly the negatives are out there as well, if you're getting rid of that. But the positives are many for sure.
Sean, do we sound like get off my lawn guys this hour? What do you think?
Maybe so. I mean, one thing not to forget is that Frontier Airlines, albeit small in comparison to their competitors, is a $2 billion company. I mean, this is just totally different than, you know, what we're talking about here in our community. You know, the small, medium, local businesses that deal with customer service issues on a regular basis, they absolutely have an opportunity. And as Rich said, those points when people are having issues, when they need help, that's prime time to be able to, you know, go and make turn it into a win, you know, and make a superhero out of the situation. And I think we can't, you know, just look past all customer service options, especially as a small business. We really have to double down on, you know, the human element, the human touch. And yeah, there needs to be some options for the grab and go folks, for the, you know, people who just have a quick question, like what's my tracking number? Yeah, put that in the chat bot, you know, put that in an email. But any small business and roster listening, I would definitely encourage to, you know, make a point to focus on their customer service, especially this holiday season.
Shadian, how do you see it when it comes to small business opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a trade-off, right? We would love to be able to have more people, of course, to be able to create that kind of customized personal attention. That's expensive, especially in a hot job market right now. At the same time, though, I do agree that it can give you a leg up in terms of the competition and as well as differentiation. I mean, Frontier just sounds like it's just badly run, period. Because one other thing that I worry about is, you know, a lot of us on this call perhaps are more savvy with technology. But when I think about sort of both a generational or an education or even an income gap where people don't have unlimited amounts of, you know, Wi-Fi or data plans. I mean, it's really difficult for them to navigate this very digital world, and we're really not doing much to help them either.
Well, I've got a pile of your emails and phone calls, and so if you're on the line, Bonnie, Keith, et cetera, if you sent an email to share some of your thoughts, What we'll do is we'll take our only break of the hour and we'll come back and we'll get some of your feedback as we kind of work through the present and the future of a more efficient economy, which might mean on customer service needs. Sometimes you talk to a person. Sometimes you talk to Alessandro and Michelle, who I learned today were not actually people that I was trying to deal with Frontier Airlines. Anyway, Rich Pelvino thinks so. He's a vice president and director of corporate communications at ESL Federal Credit Union, where, I mean, we reached out to ESL because they have a pretty darn good reputation with dealing with people directly. Dr. Raj Murthy is here from the Saunders School of Business at RIT. He is the J. Warren McClure Research Professor there. And Dr. Shadeen Yeltkin is here, the Dean of the Simon Business School at the University of Rochester. Sean McKay from SiteHub, all with us, and your feedback is next. Coming up in our second hour, a conversation about games, new games available for the holidays, a game that reminds me of Settlers of Catan, one of the most popular games of all time. But this series of games, called Lost and Found, have a basis in religious law, teaching, and tradition. They're supposed to be historically accurate and entertaining. Can they work? We'll talk to the creators next hour. This is Connections, and on this Monday, is this Cyber Monday? Oh, good, it's Cyber Monday. People everywhere are dealing with bots right now. We're talking about the future of the economy. Frontier Airlines announced just on the Thanksgiving weekend, they told NPR that they are ending their human-based customer service line because, they want to save some money for sure, but they find that their customers are happy just to deal with bots. And I thought that was a little silly. But, I know a lot of people have a lot of different views on this, and maybe we'll find out in a moment that I'm the one who's the outlier. I don't know. Keith, what do you think? Real people or bots, Keith in Canandaigua?
Oh, God, the bots are useless.
Don't swear, Keith. Do not swear. I don't have a...
I did swear. I said they're useless.
Okay. Go ahead.
No. Just to give you an example, we were in Cairo about 4 weeks ago, and it's 6 hours difference, and I got a phone call that went to my voicemail telling me that my wife and niece, not their flight was canceled, their ticket was canceled from Cairo back to Montreal. All right, so one of us calls the travel agent. I call the airline. She gets through to the travel agent and says, oh, yeah, we'll work on this, but we're getting close to closing. We will call you back by 4 p.m. Cairo time tomorrow. I'm on hold with the airline. I'm on hold for an hour waiting to talk to a human being. I get a human being, explain to him that the ticket was canceled. He's looking for the answer. 10 minutes, all of a sudden I hear the dial tone. All right, so I call back 6 hours later, which now it's 6 a.m. in Canada. Never heard back from the travel agent. And basically the airline, by talking to a human being, was able to rebook the flight from Cairo back to Montreal. And to this day, we've never, ever heard back from the travel agent.
But you got there.
Company. Pardon me?
You got there, though,
we
huh?
got back. But it was a travel agent who called me saying that the tickets were canceled and they were going to call us back. But they never did. But it was the airline, by talking to real human beings, saw the problem and was able to straighten it out. If that was through a bot, we'd still be in Cairo.
Well, Cairo is lovely, but I hear
you. The weather was pretty nice. But,
yeah.
The other thing that I've noticed with customer service, you may think it's local if you're calling a local number. It's usually not. And I've noticed more and more now are not in a call center. They're operating it out of their home, because the first thing I will ask a customer service, are you in the office or are you at home? And they'll say, I'm at home. And I said, I don't care. I don't worry if I hear kids or dogs in the background. I just need you to take care of my issue. And they're very cordial about that. And they understand too. I don't have a problem, but the bots I've never had a chat bot ever help out an issue.
Well, Keith, I appreciate the phone call as a data point here. Thank you. It would be You know, Dr. Murthy, it would be the next level botting for a bot to say, excuse me for one moment, Evan, I've got to tend to my newborn. I'll be right back. That would be really deceptive here.
But it would be very convincing.
Oh, don't defend it. Don't defend it.
No, I am not defending it, but it is an interesting thing that has happened over the last, I think your caller was very much right. More and more people working out of their houses, and gives enough flexibility to do so.
Yeah, I'm with Keith. I don't care what's going on in the background in your life, as long as you're working and I can talk to somebody. So, Keith, I'm with you. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you had a good trip to Cairo. I'm sure it's good to be back. Hal in Dansville is next on the phone. Hi, Hal. Go ahead.
Thank you. There are two things. One on travel. I've been flying for over 70 years. I've lived on three continents and four countries, gone to every state. The big thing that's changed over this time is overbooking. And, you know, bots or whatever are very frustrating. But one of the key problems is that they don't allow for leverage in booking any specific flight. So, and I gave up flying the last time I flew to Europe over 20 years ago because I'm concerned about climate change and greenhouse gases. So that's one point, overbooking. The second one is what just happened to me this morning. From my farm homeowners and automotive insurer, I got like an inch of single space fine print policy renewal once a year. And I just don't have the time or the intellect maybe to understand the jargon. So I went to my local agent just a few miles away and sat down and had a face-to-face human conversation. I asked things like, what about inflation? In other words, houses cost a lot more than they did years ago. Mm-hmm. Or what about mass shootings not covered by any of these policies? So, in other words, I paid in person and I got an education. So we gave up on travel agents, and understandably, overbooking means a lot of less empty seats. But the other thing is, if you've traveled around the world and lived in different places, like in Japan 50 years ago, you could get on a train and go 150 miles an hour. In Europe the last time, I was going 200 miles an hour. Here, you're lucky to go 60 miles an hour. So infrastructure could make a huge difference, at least on the coast and other shorter distances. So thank you for your program. As always, it's great.
Oh, thank you, Hal. I appreciate that. And Hal's point, by the way, on American rail travel, this is a whole separate conversation. The last time I traveled on Amtrak, they couldn't even tell me if there was going to be freight blocking their way. That's something that, do you not have AI or bots that can figure out if there's anything on the tracks in front of you? Or just like a camera? There's nothing? I love traveling Amtrak if I don't have to be on time. I do. I would love to do rail more often in this country if it was more reliable. So, Hal, I think you make a lot of good points there, and I appreciate that. And sort of relatedly, Peter from Henrietta writes to say, perhaps the real question is how many Americans are willing to pay more for good customer service? Frontier is known to be a low-cost, low-service airline. People can pay more and fly Delta and get better service, but many choose not to. That's from Peter. I want to ask all of our guests about this because this relates to a bigger question, I think, about the future of our economy. And it's sort of related to the Amazons of the world and getting everything cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. If you can get it, do we need to think more about what that means? What that means for who is either making the goods that we want to spend less money to receive, or how many people are working the service that we don't want to spend that much on? And I think that at the moment it feels good to click and spend less, but I think Peter's larger point, whether it's about Frontier Airlines or Amazon or the closures of your mom and pop stores in your town, I think a lot of this is related. And I don't know, Sean, Sean McKay, president of SciHub, let me start with you. What do you think?
You know, I think a lot of people don't think about that until it's too late, right? You don't think about the potential problem you're going to have with a product and the support you might need until it comes up. And yeah, maybe we should be better, smarter consumers. But I tend to think that, you know, if you're running a business, you should be able to support your customers in a way that, you know, at least is functional. It may not have to be the best experience, but even though I think that's what you should strive for, you know, at least being able to support people at the bare minimum to get the help they might need to, you know, use your product or get a refund or what have you.
Dr. Yeltsin, what do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, there needs to be some sort of bare customer service. And I think they given the social media, I mean, reviews left and they spread like wildfire, that would definitely push the, you know, envelope in terms of providing better customer service if a company is doing worse. But the main question that was asked is absolutely right. I mean, we do expect less. Whether it's cheap clothes that disintegrate after a few washes, or airlines that might leave us stranded or not, you know, allow us many opportunities to rebook because we're taking that chance of, you know, going by the cheaper airline. The issue I always come to, the economy is always going to find solutions. People who are able to afford to pay for better customer service and concierge service will go that route. But you get this inequality. You get this inequality of sort of bad service for those of us who are either very price sensitive or for those of us who can't afford the high prices.
Dr. Murthy, what do you think?
Well, I agree. But to a nuance, a couple of things to consider here. Number one, on a flight, you expect to be taken from one place to another place. That's the very basic element of service. They already charge you for everything else, whether you want a bottle of water, a drink, a food, or anything else. So while customers will try, it's affecting every business, right? So inflation affects everybody, the ones who have the means and those who don't. So, I mean, what if you had the same experience with Delta? Would that mean Delta wasn't able to satisfy the same? Or I've had, as all of us do, Amazon. And Amazon uses a chatbot to solve about 90% of the queries that they have. So it's a mega corporation, a big company that with lots of resources. So I think the size of the company, I think it becomes more important if you're smaller to satisfy and keep your customers happy. And for the larger companies, they may be able to weather the storm, even though there's a lot of velocity on social media and they would go through. But everybody is trying to reduce their cost. And this is just one of the options they're using.
Rich Pulvino?
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. I think a big part of it, too, is depending on the nature of the industry and the relationship will drive how that interaction takes place. So as we're talking about an airline, the delivery of that product and service, the purchase can happen purely online, and some issues could be handled via chatbot. But I think for other things where there are much more complex problems, thinking to where ESL is in the banking services, it's much more complex. The information you are dealing with is very private, personal information. So that cannot be handled just by a simple digital platform. That needs to be talked through with an individual who understands the nature of the relationship, who understands the history, can take all that into account, and then also help the customer by reaching a solution.
Yeah, and recognizing my own, you know, sort of comfort and advantage here, I would say I am willing to pay a little bit more in society for goods and services if it means employing more people and paying better wages. And I do think we have to connect these things. We can't sort of claim, you know, sort of this innocence or naivete about that, because it is all connected. I appreciate that email, Peter. This is from Barbara. Barbara says, just a thought, if you wanted to take a survey of one, if there is no human being that can help me with customer service, I will not do business with that company. I prefer to talk to a person. Lisa says, I can't call you right now. I'm on the phone with customer service at kingofchristmas.com, trying to get them to stop sending me multiple emails per day for Christmas trees. I've never ordered anything from them. I've never visited their website or sought anything from them. Automated emails told me just to click unsubscribe. I did. That did nothing. So I wrote to their helpline. The likely automated response said to just click unsubscribe. I wrote that I had done that days earlier and it did not work. I received no response, and so now I am trying customer service, but so far just listening to 20 minutes of computer voices promising that a person might be with me shortly. That's from Lisa. So I was laughing during the break because Raj was saying that there is there's some interesting insight into the whole notion of unsubscribe, and I would love to hear from a bot that unsubscribe would work, because then I would have to do the same thing Lisa did. I've tried to click unsubscribe to so many of these things, and they keep coming for me. How do they? Why do they think that I've subscribed when I've said unsubscribe? What can you tell us about this, Raj?
That it happens to me a lot. I suffer from the same problems that you do. In fact, this morning I was trying to unsubscribe from a rather large retailer who I've never done business with, and unsuccessfully so. What I realize now is that the unsubscribe button is more of a suggestion, not an actual thing that does it. It does work, obviously. There is a possibility that it takes about 5 weeks for you to actually come off of a list, because these lists are shared and circulated by hundreds of different companies as they move through.
5 weeks.
Up to 5 weeks for
that,
you to get off
the list. That actually tracks now. That makes sense. But I don't know what they're doing. Are they printing out the unsubscribe list and actually employing people to then go do it? Like, what are we doing here that can't be, I don't know. Sean McKay, unsubscribe, but you want to talk about this one too?
Yeah, sure, Evan. I think it's funny because as a small business, if you don't follow those directions, you're at real risk for potential lawsuit. If somebody unsubscribes and you continue to mail them, you could be liable for that and for those damages, so to speak. ISPs and domain registrars take that stuff really seriously. But there's always a grace period. And a lot of times, as Rush said, that, you know, there's shared lists. So you might unsubscribe from Best Buy, but if they share a list with JCPenney, well, you know, you got to unsubscribe there too. It kind of is one of those things I feel like it's almost not worth doing. There are some services I tell my people to use. One of them is called Unroll Me, and it kind of automatically rolls all that spam mail up into one daily digest. Real nifty little tool there.
Unroll Me. That's good. That's good stuff. Let me get Jennifer, and then I'll take Bonnie's phone call. Jennifer is talking about healthcare, and this is an interesting point. She says, I know this is more in the field of healthcare than business or economy, but I had my knee replaced 9 weeks ago. The health system has a bot that calls every week and checks on you instead of a nurse. All yes or no numbers, 1 to 10 questions. So pain, recovery, comfort, all on a scale of 1 to 10. Jennifer, first of all, thank you for that. And I think this absolutely is related to what we're talking about. We're talking in general about the economy, yes, but sort of the future of customer service. Healthcare is a big one. And I think I want to try to see a little nuance in what Jennifer is saying. I think if what Jennifer is offering us is a both and, in other words, if there is a bot that checks in on you with some routine and asks you some basic questions that you can offer data points for, that real people who know you and then can track how you're doing, this could be related to knee replacement, cancer surgery, all kinds of things, then I think that that's probably a pretty efficient way to do it, as long as when you really need to talk to somebody, Jennifer, you still can. In healthcare, I would not want to be relying only on bots, although I think there are plenty of times where an automated answer can help. So if it's both and, I feel like, how am I doing, Dr. Yelchikin? Is that like the nuanced, it depends answer? Because I think it can be both and with healthcare. I just wouldn't want it to be purely automated.
Oh, no, none of us would. Not only you wouldn't want healthcare, you probably wouldn't want your hair cut either. So it's, maybe some people do, I don't. But it's certainly true. I mean, again, we talked about sort of triaging. If the idea there is to, you know, when we're especially in a state of very big nursing shortages, if you would like to concentrate those nursing resources on people who are actually having complications rather than waste their time calling up a huge roster of people who might just be perfectly fine at home and recovering very well. So it's good to have that bot do the triaging. And if somebody is checking off boxes that says, hey, I'm not doing well, I'm having these symptoms, and to have a nurse follow up. And that reduces the volume of calls on the part of the nurse. And that does lead to efficiency, but still good customer service.
Yeah, okay. I mean, right. I mean, Rich Polvino, you want to replace a knee and not talk to anybody for 3 months? I don't. But I don't think we're going there.
No.
I'm naive, though, but maybe I don't think we're going there.
No, I think the both and is, I think, the one that makes sense, because it's that complementary digital offering where then all of a sudden you get to a threshold and you're like, okay, this individual does need to talk to somebody. So let's connect them with somebody who can help them and get through their situation. And I think that's what a lot of companies are gearing towards. A lot are offering digital customer service solutions, but they're not totally getting rid of the human side as well. They're waiting for that more human touch, complementary, making sure that if there is a serious, more complicated issue, that the individual can get in touch with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is where, Dr. Murthy, I would rate whether it's healthcare, a bank, business, a credit union, I would rate them on just how well, I think it's actually helpful to give me kind of a bot online check-in, especially if you wouldn't have the person power to do that, you know, regularly, as long as you can solve the problem if I really hit a crisis. I would actually consider what Jennifer's describing a plus, as long as it doesn't replace it.
It's an add-on service. It's actually great to have that. So routine things that you need to check in on, like post-op care, or even if you're diabetic and reporting your blood sugar on a regular basis, all of these things are perfect. And then you have the option, like, do you want a doctor to call you or have them call you if you can't wait on the phone for 4 hours? Would be an ideal solution. I think smart companies are definitely using the standard collection of data with the bot and then moving it off to a person.
And I will say, Jennifer, it sounds like you emailed with some frustration. Maybe you are having trouble getting people to talk to you. And if that's the case, I'm sorry about that. And that must be very frustrating. Sean McKay, how do you see this one?
Yeah, much in the same way. You know, I think if there's data collection to that needs to happen before you speak to a human, I'm fine with giving that stuff, you know, in a chatbot. You know, we've done it for years over the phone when you call a company, you know, enter your account number. That sort of thing, I think, is totally reasonable. Once they start trying to troubleshoot my problem, I get to my wit's end pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let me get Bonnie next on the phone. Hi, Bonnie, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Well, I call myself the experienced frustration person because, first of all, these issues are much more common in many businesses now. It's not just, airlines and all that. I also might just point out there was a program a few weeks ago about everything now, because the plan is that everything, underline everything, in medical services will become part of what I call the robot system. And so good luck for having to deal with one of the issues is dealing with things that are more subtle. And computers right now, and maybe never, are not so much into subtle. So that begins, that has a huge problem. But the other thing that, and I want to emphasize, this is a lot of businesses are doing this now. It's not just the airlines. Recently, banks, driving me absolutely crazy. The bank I've gone to for years, for some reason, decided when you want to use the digital, for instance, to get your account, you know, balance, which has been pretty simple. Okay, they start to change it to say when they ask you about that option, they would say speech. Now, this was not a live person saying speech. This was what I call a dead robot saying speech. And so I figured, what the heck are they talking about? So I was on my way to using the digital, and what happened is somehow it went to the speech model. Now, again, it wasn't a real person, but I couldn't complete my task because they had not, for some reason, they hadn't done this right, and you've got both of them going at the same time. As far as I know, I can't speak two non-language languages. And it took weeks and weeks of me screaming to get that back. Now, again, they've decided to go back to some other, you know, some wrong model, and it could be a mistake that they've done, but they've done it over and over again. What I want to see is some independent evaluations of these kinds of issues connected to businesses as well as connected to smartphones of various prices as to their service systems and as to their fixing. There is a thing now that Joe Morelli is trying to get handle on of fixing smartphones that don't end up having to either be replace and losing all your information or having to repay to get the new one. Yeah. And there's some problems with his model, but that is another thing. These things are connected, and it gets so frustrating. And even businesses, like I had a problem with getting some repairs in my house. And when I went to Home Advisor, I won't go through this with you because it'd take too long, but it was a nightmare, a living nightmare. I had to talk to 17 people. So the strategy was don't give you any help. Just keep pushing it on and on and on and on until you get worn out.
Well, Bonnie's last point as we get ready to wrap the show is an important one here. Most of these businesses are trying to be efficient but still serve customers well. As we talked recently about utilities and others, there is an idea that some companies would be happy if you just gave up if you need to talk to a real person, especially if there's a billing dispute. But we covered that recently. I will just say, Bonnie, I'm sorry you've gone through all of that. And I have to believe that with the improving, whether it's smartphone technology and other technologies, we're in the infancy of what customer service is going to look like. And I want to believe it's going to get better. But I am a skeptic that you can really get much better without more people. So that's why I wanted Sean McKay to back me up on the get off my lawn stuff. Sean's the president of SiteHub. Great stuff from you, Sean. Thank you for being on the program.
Adam.
Great having
you. Thank you,
sir. And Sean's a real person. So is Dr. Shadeen Yeltykin, who is the dean of the Simon Business School at the University of Rochester. Wonderful insight. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Dr. Raj Murthy, who is the J. Warren McClure Research Professor in the Saunders College of Business at the RIT. Thank you for sharing your insight as well.
Thank you.
And our thanks to Rich Polvino, one of the many actual human beings at ESL. He's the Vice President and Director of Corporate Communications at ESL Federal Credit Union. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being human, Rich. We're coming back with more Connections in just a moment.